From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
As a stand-up comic, that's where the interesting stuff comes from, the truth, you know? And then getting canceled, you realize it's weird to have your life canceled.
Comedian Cristela Alonso created and starred in the ABC sitcom Cristela, based on her life as the daughter of an impoverished single mother in small-town Texas. Getting on the air was a dream come true. Getting canceled after one season was crushing. Cristela on her roller coaster of a year in television. But first on the news banter, big deals on the horizon, and Cameron Crowe says he's sorry. Stay tuned, it's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my partner in banter, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, big deals appear to be on the horizon. John Malone, who is this billionaire, brilliant, he's got a PhD in operations research, whatever that is, from Johns Hopkins. But he built a cable giant back in the day. Then he sort of seemed to go away. Now he is back. His company, Charter, is making a play for Time Warner Cable. As you recall, Comcast was trying to buy Time Warner Cable, but the federal government thought that was too big, too much internet control, particularly. So now he's doing this deal, and it feels like, it sounds like from what he's saying publicly, this is the beginning of something.
Yeah, not only will he be the third largest pay TV provider in the country, but based on comments he made this week and what people think in the industry, he's looking to buy content companies as well, whether that be Viacom or Lionsgate or CBS or any one of these media companies that seems to be in play. John Malone seems to want some or all of them.
Yeah, he owns a big chunk of Discovery. He definitely has an interest in Lionsgate, and it feels like what he's trying to do is he sees the world changing, the guy who built the cable empire, and he is trying to create a company that somehow thrives and controls or dominates or is big in the world of streaming and on demand, which is where, obviously, you know, this kind of entertainment is going.
Yeah, I think, you know, he has had an experience with Netflix. He was Starz, which his company owns, was one of the first licensors of content to Netflix. And he has seen what that has done for the Netflix business, which, you know, the stock is trading above 600 at this point. And if you look at something like HBO, which is itself a streaming service now that it's launched its over-the-top streaming in addition to being a power in the cable world. I mean, HBO alone is a more powerful service than Netflix could be and already has that global input. So maybe John Malone would just buy HBO, or maybe he would buy Time Warner in general, which owns HBO. I mean, there's a lot of options here if you really want to compete with Netflix, and I think it seems like he does.
Yeah, other companies in play could be, you know, Viacom. We've talked about Sumner Redstone. John Malone noted that Sumner Redstone is 92. Of course, Malone is 74, but apparently, you know, that's younger than 92.
70 is the new 50 in media moguls.
That's it. And he noted that. And obviously, the implication is that those companies could be for sale and he could potentially buy some or all of them. Moving on, we've talked about a conflict in the past between Telluride and Toronto, these two film festivals. Toronto came out and had said, we are not going to allow films that play at Telluride to play here. And obviously the concern on Toronto is a big deal as a film festival wants to launch big awards contender films. And they don't like the way that Telluride has sprung some of these films out just before the Toronto Film Festival. The fear was it would steal some of Toronto's thunder.
Yeah, they're both right around Labor Day, Telluride's first, then Toronto. So there was this decree last year from Toronto. You play Telluride, you're not going to get a prime slot at Toronto, and you're going to be relegated to the end of the week when nobody's around and the press attention is lower. So I think the perception was that there was a backlash to that. It didn't work. These films still played Telluride because they still wanted the attention. And now they've gone back on that. And they basically said, okay, we'll take your film for the opening weekend. We just won't give it one of the prime theaters. You're not going to play Roy Thompson Hall or one of the major theaters that opening weekend. We're going to reserve those premieres for the movies that go exclusively to Toronto. And I think, first of all, it's going to only create a even further logjam that first weekend of Toronto when you have these movies that played Telluride playing the smaller theaters, and then you have these movies that didn't play Telluride playing the big theaters. So it's going to be even more of a logjam than it already is. But ultimately, it just shows that the power of the Toronto Film Festival was not as great as they thought. That Telluride is still the premier showcase. It's got the media. It's got the elites that go to Telluride. That's where people want to premiere these awards films.
And yet, you know, people still wanted to see them in Toronto because Telluride is hard to get to and not that big. So I think, you know, it felt like Toronto was overreacting a bit. But having said that, they apparently sort of backed partially off of their
The whole thing concern. Seemed very silly, like a, you know, turf war of some, you know, very nerdy film geek people. But, you know, because people want to see the films. I mean, how many people can get into a screening in Telluride? Very, very few. It's just those reviews that come out and the award season buzz that starts at Telluride is invaluable to these Oscar campaigns. If you come out of Telluride and the awards elite love your film, it's a great boost to a campaign, even more so, they think, than Toronto.
Turning to a film that did not work at all, Aloha, which is Cameron Crowe's latest film. This is a film that had already been sort of tarred by emails revealed in the Sony hack where the then chairman of the studio, Amy Pascal, said it was an unsalvageable. And then there was yet another thing that happened to this poor movie before it opened, which was people complaining that Emma Stone had been cast as a somewhat partially Hawaiian character. This is an issue of big sensitivity in Hawaii, and there was backlash against that, and Cameron Crowe, the director, has now said he is sorry.
Yeah, the character's name is Allison Ng, and she's supposed to be a quarter Asian and a quarter Native Hawaiian. Now, anyone who looks at Emma Stone can probably tell that she is neither of those things. And I think a lot of groups said, you know, there wasn't someone else that you could cast in this role that might have better reflected our culture. And Cameron Crowe took the rare step of apologizing for that. I mean, I think that, you know, it brings up a larger issue here because obviously Emma Stone got this role because she is a star and brings her star cachet to this role. And I don't know if there is an actress who is a quarter Asian and a quarter Native Hawaiian who could have been in this role and had the star power to hopefully lure audiences. So it brings up this tension in Hollywood where you want to cast stars for your movies, but you also face the sensitivities around ethnic casting.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could have slightly more diverse choices, maybe. That would solve the problem.
Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers is going to have to deal with this problem on an upcoming movie, Pan, which is coming out in October. They cast a white actress, Rooney Mara, to play Tiger Lily, which in the Peter Pan mythology is Native American. So I think the studio is probably monitoring this situation and saying, okay, how are we going to get ahead of this? How are we not going to get aloha'd, to use it as a verb?
Well, okay, aloha, Matt.
Aloha.
That's Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Last fall, comedian Cristela Alonso joined us to talk about how she beat the odds to become the first Latina to create and star in her own sitcom. Her show, Cristela, was part of ABC's much-touted push for diversity this past season, along with comedies Blackish and Fresh Off the Boat. Alonso based Cristela on her own life, growing up dirt poor in Texas. Much of the conflict in the show arose from the relationship between Cristela, who is struggling to become a lawyer, and her very traditional mother, Natalia, played by Terry Hoyos. In a Christmas episode, Cristela invited a male coworker, not Latino, to join her family in making tamales, a holiday tradition that in Natalia's household was reserved for women only.
Will you shut up? You're making fools out of yourselves in front of my guests!
Well, he shouldn't even be here!
Ama?
No. New nativity scene. New butt. Strangers wandering in. This is not how Christmas is supposed to be.
This is not how mothers are supposed to be.
ABC scheduled Cristela in a tough Friday night time slot, and though the show's ratings weren't huge, it still attracted loyal viewers. Alonso made a point of connecting with many of them through social media and her blog. But in May, she got the unwelcome news that her show had been canceled.
We actually all expected the second season pickup. You know, everybody kept telling me the first year is the toughest. And by the end of the season, we were all very happy with where we were. And we were really looking forward to it. So actually, everybody was very shocked when they got the news that we were canceled.
Really? That's terrible. Yeah. I like to think that people know and they're braced for something like this.
Yeah. No, you know, it's funny. I think that in certain situations, you know.
You have to. Like, you know, your ratings were terrible.
Yeah. You know, our ratings were fine despite the promotion that we had, which was pretty minimal. We actually got really great numbers considering that people really had to do a scavenger hunt to find us.
And well, you said in your blog that you were often preempted.
Yeah, we were. And you know, it's funny because I never knew that. I used to live tweet every episode and the viewers would complain to me that it was inconsistent and they had trouble following the show because they never knew when to tune in. You know, it's frustrating.
Right.
We weren't getting commercials aired.
That's
so,
not you good. Know. I mean, assume you were going to ABC and saying, why are you not promoting my show?
It was difficult. It's the business side where our show is owned by 20th, so it's not an ABC.
It's a Fox show.
Yeah,
you know, and so maybe that you think that had something to do with it.
Absolutely, yes.
Did they tell you? Did you ask? Or did you just feel like you can't ask?
I never wanted to ask personally. I know our executive producers, they're the ones that always took that
right,
to hand, because
for
me, yeah, and for me, I didn't want to get so involved in the politics of that because to me, it's my first show. I wanted to focus more on the writing and the actual creation of the show
right.
rather than wondering why they're not promoting me. The only thing I knew is that our show was owned by 20th and not ABC Studios, and it's more
you're
expensive.
Orphaned a little
bit. Yeah, we are orphans, you know.
Yeah. So you're on the road.
Yes.
You're doing stand up, you're connecting with your fans,
mm-hmm.
and one of the revelations to you is, in this very diverse world of the Latino community,
mm-hmm.
you're carrying this incredible burden of lots of fans, or supposed fans, telling you, I mean, specifically you wrote about a woman telling you you weren't dressed well enough because you're representing our people.
Yes. It's, you know, I always dress for comfort. And, you know, it was, we were in Fort Lauderdale doing stand-up. It was actually the day I found out we were canceled. I had just walked away from the club and got the call. So it was just bad and worse. And this woman, I mean, just she keeps telling me to have pride in myself because what I'm wearing right now, which is, you know, T-shirt, pants, you know, I have some makeup on, but not really. It wasn't good enough for her. She's like, have pride in yourself, fix yourself up, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so do you want me to dress up like Sofia Vergara in Modern Family? Is that what you want? And she's like, well, she is doing a great job of showing what Latino women look like. I'm like, that's not true.
I've seen so many women of all races and backgrounds that look just like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You know, so when she said that, I thought, oh, you're never going to like what I look like. And it's a very heavy weight to a certain extent to try to represent everybody because this show wasn't about representing a Latino family. It was about representing my Latino family. And for some reason, people couldn't accept that. It was so strange that, you know, people would say, oh, your mom's a stereotype, which to me was the most offensive thing I ever got. My mom on the show is exactly who my mom was in real life. And the whole show really is a show to kind of honor her and kind of show her journey because she was such an old-fashioned, you can almost consider it like a primitive woman in thought because she didn't have any education. You know, so it's nice to see the journey of where she started and where she ended up. So many people wanted to see the Huxtables on the show. I'm like, well, my family didn't start out as the Huxtables. We were never the Huxtables. Even now, we all have careers.
The Huxtables.
Exactly. Los Huxtables, you know?
Yes. So when you had, I mean, you know, they're either accusing you of using a stereotype or want you to use a different stereotype.
Absolutely.
Did you get any of that kind of thing from ABC? Were they like, make a cholo uncle?
No. You know, what I got from ABC and the studio is it's like, why don't you date? Why aren't you a single girl dating everybody? It's like, well, because that's not my life. It's been done before. And I wanted to stand out and tell the story of the girl that lives with her family and can't really date. Because there's a lot of those women out there that I know personally that don't have that experience. And, you know, my mom used to always tell me that I could date when I got married. You know, and it's like, you know, it's like, because she's so Catholic. And the weird thing about the show, though, was trying to kind of explain certain stories to people that aren't familiar with my culture. The Christmas episode, trying to describe how women are supposed to be, like they have to serve, they have to be the indentured servant to their brothers and all any male in the family. That's what we had to go through.
So, you know, this show was called Christella, mm-hmm. and part of the burden on you in a way was that, you know, you were called Christella and your mother was called Natalia, which was, in fact, your mother's name. Very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets canceled, and as you say, you were not necessarily expecting that. And you talk about, in this blog of yours, you talked about some of the emotions, you know, sad, mm-hmm. angry, and you felt like a burden of guilt, I think, about the crew and the cast.
Yes. You know, I let everybody down because part of me instantly felt, how long will it take for another network to put a Latino sitcom on the air? Because they're going to assume that my show was a failure. That's the first thing I thought. I felt guilty about the cast because our cast was predominantly Latino. And it was very hard to find these people. I found out during the audition process that people weren't writing roles for Latinos that really let them act. We were doing a multicam. It was so hard to find Latino actors that had any multicam experience. So the moment we got canceled, I thought, I hope that this year of doing this show will help the cast of my show to continue getting other jobs.
The other thing that you felt, which was a surprise to you as I read your writing, it was relief.
I did. I had no idea I was going to feel relieved, actually. I was relieved because it was exhausting. The whole process was so exhausting to try to tell people what my life was like. It's kind of like you're defending your life. It's like the Albert Brooks movie, you know? It's like you have to tell yourself, you have to show why you did the things you did. It's like, I don't know. Who can do that, you know? So the moment I got the call, I thought, man, that's done. And, you know, honestly, I don't know if I would have felt like that with another show. But because this one was based on my life.
Well, I'm wondering if that's what your takeaway would be is like next time I'm going to fictionalize more so I don't get
absolutely.
So personally caught up in this stuff.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, it's weird because shows like, you know, like Raymond's, you know, like they took a lot of his stuff from his stand-up, which was based on reality. And I wanted to do that, too, because that's as a stand-up comic, that's where the interesting stuff comes from, the truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting canceled, you realize it's weird to have your life canceled.
Well, so let me ask you. I mean, your show, you were part of this push that ABC was talking about,
mm-hmm.
diversity, and Black-ish was renewed, and
ABC
Fresh
Studio
Off the
show.
Boat was
yeah.
renewed.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Did they get handled differently? Do you,
Yes.
You know, in a word, yes. Okay. So you think they got better placement, better promotion?
Absolutely. I never got a billboard. I got bus benches and the backs of buses
right.
in certain areas where, you know, where it was appropriate, I guess.
Okay.
But I can tell you I saw a lot of publicity for Black-ish, you know.
Yeah, they put it right behind Modern Family.
Yeah. Well, and even when you went out, you couldn't.
You couldn't miss it.
Yeah, you couldn't miss it. Same thing with Fresh Off the Boat, actually. I mean, I was doing a week at The View the week that they were launching, and they were everywhere in New York. You know, it is what it is.
Coming up after a short break, Christella Alonso tells us why she won't be joining The View or, for now, any other show on ABC. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Make a donation of just a dollar a day and you can join one of our exciting and exclusive angel clubs. Choose from music, books, DVDs, or cookbooks delivered right to your front door. Learn more and join now at kcrw.com/join.
This is The Business and I'm Kim Masters. We're talking to Christella Alonso, star and creator of the now-canceled ABC show, Christella. While the show was on the air, Alonzo was concerned that the network wasn't doing enough to promote it, so she tried to do it herself. She says that's why she agreed to appear as a fill-in host on ABC's talk show, The View. That show gave Alonzo a platform to display her comedy chops, as in this segment in which the hosts brainstormed new ideas for contests on The Bachelor.
I think they should dress up in pajama pants and stuff, like at the point where in the relationship where you stop trying. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. In my Target, you know, that's like Massimo.
That's what it should be.
That's
what
I like. That.
This is what you're getting. I stopped going to the gym on our third date. Like, this is what we got.
That's right.
Alonzo did so well on The View that ABC wanted her to become a regular. One media report said network executives thought a deal was all but done until Alonzo angrily withdrew because her sitcom was dropped. But Alonzo says she never considered joining The View full-time and had even hesitated to be a guest host.
I felt very nervous about it because it was live, and I've seen The View. I used to see The View when it started. I was a nanny when it first started, and, you know, it was really weird to be on the show.
That's a movie. A movie. Note to self. Nanny becomes View person. Go on.
I felt very uncomfortable because it was such a weird new medium for me that I was just hoping I was doing it right. Like, I just hope I'm not embarrassing myself. And right after I started doing it, I started getting really great feedback from it. And I think it's from doing stand-up. You know, it's just you're so comfortable in your voice.
On your
feet. Know? Yeah. Right. So it's just very relaxing and very, you know, laid back after a while. But it was never anything that I wanted to do. I never considered it a job. Like, I never thought of it as an opportunity.
They do give you money.
Well, yeah, they do. They do. But honestly, it's like I loved doing Cristela. I loved it. My heart and soul was in that show. My heart and soul isn't in The View.
Well, so when there was this idea that you would be a regular person on The View, and then you I think you tweeted something about you're taking a break from ABC.
Yeah.
And then that was interpreted as she is mad at ABC and she's having a big diva hissy fit.
Yeah.
It was written in the Daily Mail, no less a source than the British tabloid, the Daily Mail.
And it's funny because everything in their article was so wrong. And it was just, you know, the thing that really bothered me about that article was when they said that I was brought into January, like, to replace Rosie Perez, you know, and that really made me mad because that's such a gross and disgusting thing to even imply.
Although it may, I hate to say it, but doesn't it seem like it could be true?
No. Because, and honestly, that was something that was never, you know, I still had my show. I had been picked up for the back nine. I mean, I had a job.
Right.
You know, so to me, it's like when they said that, I'm like, I don't want people thinking that that was ever the plan. I was always temporary at that point. This is my part-time job in a way.
Right.
You know, so I hated reading that because I didn't, you know, because I love Rosie Perez so much. Just the idea that anybody would write that.
I can see how you would feel like it's a disgusting thing to write.
You know, and it's,
it's like you're filling the Latina slot.
Yes. And then on the internet, it doesn't matter if it's true. It's who says it first.
It gets into the water.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And you're just like, okay. Well.
But it's not about that.
No, it's not. You know, it was, I never wanted to do The View. And when it first started coming up that maybe they wanted me on full time, I was like, oh, no.
Is it the words that means like that social media thing where you say I'm taking a break from ABC? Sounds like you're mad at ABC.
And yeah. No, for me, it was just what was really annoying to me, which really surprised me because, again, I'm so new at this business. I got canceled and then they instantly wanted to ask me about The View. And I'm like, well, let me grieve. Like, I just had a show canceled. You know, it's like, I understand that that's how the business works for a lot of people.
Next
Everybody
gig.
Wants to know what's mm-hmm. next. I don't necessarily want to jump into a next gig if it doesn't speak to me. I want to take a break and kind of process the year I just had. I mean, I think that's fair. The reason I wrote it like that about taking the long break from the network is that there were so many people on Twitter that were asking me if I was going to go to The View. That it just, you know, when you see it just nonstop for days, you want to make it sound so definite so that hopefully they see it and they stop asking you. And they didn't stop asking me. It's like, how do you make people understand that you just don't want to do that? I don't want to do anything just to have a job.
But so to be clear, you don't have a problem with an ABC idea. You have a problem with The View. The View.
Well,
you have a problem that it is not your thing to be on The View. That's your thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that I'm open to anything. I think that just from the way, you know, from thinking that we were going to get a second season and then getting canceled, I probably don't want to jump into another half-hour sitcom with ABC just because I know those people. I know how they work. It's like I kind of would like to be open to trying other companies and see how they work. You can't stay in a relationship with one person because one person paid you attention at one point. Like, this business is about finding out who gives you the best working environment in that, like, who values your opinion, who trusts you, who lets you tell your story. You know, it's I know what I get with ABC. Let's go explore something else.
So you had said you don't want to be asked, what will you be doing next? You want to be asked, what won't you be doing next?
Yeah.
So what we know what you won't be doing next is you or in sitcom on ABC. Do you have a plan? Do you need to have a plan right now?
No. You know, it's funny. I'm a little conflicted about that because Billy Joel is one of my favorite, like, performers ever. As a kid, The Entertainer was one of my favorite songs ever. And The Entertainer as a kid always gave me this thought that you always had to stay busy to stay relevant.
Right.
You know, because that's what the song is about. And that's why I have this crazy work ethic where I love to work because you never know when it can all go away, you know?
Right.
And this business is about staying relevant. That's what I've been told so much. You got to stay relevant. So that part, I'm like, I want to stay busy and I want to see what's next. The other part of me feels like because the people that responded to this show were so loyal to this show and so supportive of this show that it shows to me that it really is important to do projects that matter to you because then you see a difference in the quality of the work that you give out. That's why I feel like maybe I should take some time to make sure that what I want to do next is something that I really want to do because I feel like if I don't, I'm doing a disservice to the people that really loved the show and showed the support, you know? When you're honest and authentic, the people that respond to it on such a deep level that that's what it's about. It's never about the money. It's about seeing these people and knowing that they feel like you changed their life with your show. I have people that tell me that they decided to go to college because they saw, you know, it's so insane to think that because I played a college student in my show, they saw someone that looked like them wanting to go to college, and it made them want to go to college. And how simple is it? You know, that's the whole thing. It's like it's just letting people know that they're capable of doing something. Because of that kind of reaction, I feel like I can't jump into anything. I can't jump into The View, you know, just to make sure that I have money coming in or whatever it is. It's about trying to do a project that speaks to those people and maybe tries to tell people like, yeah, you know what? You can be picky with what you do. You don't need to rush into anything. You need to do things that matter. That's when the true success comes from, when you do things that matter to you, you know? So I won't be doing anything that's just a paycheck. That's what I won't be doing.
Cristela Alonso, thank you so much for coming back and joining us.
Absolutely, anytime.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. You can hear The Business on demand with the KCRW smartphone app and get the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.